Good morning. Welcome to the Forgotten Word. This is Bob Wise with Forgotten Word Ministries, and today we want to pick up where we left off yesterday, finish up a message originally given by Billy Sunday back in the early 1900s, talking about what shall I do with this man called Jesus. We've been talking about, the perfect lamb and of who Jesus was, the perfect character of Jesus. So let's continue on speaking on the sermon of Billy Sunday about the Rothschilds and everybody who have since passed away, but Jesus continues on. The Rothschilds, Rockefellers, Morgans, Washingtons, Vanderbilts are all powerful and commercial and financial people in the past, but they're not Jesus, Caesar, Alexander, Hannibal, Napoleon, Wellington, Washington, Grant, and Lee, and all them people, and all the way up to today, they're powerful in military maybe, but nothing compared to Jesus. It's just the way it was. The name Jesus is a name that unhorsed old Saul of Tarsus, remember? That's the name that knocked him blind on the highway. It's the name that knocked Newton to the deck of the ship. That's the name that holds 500 million of the world's population in his magic grip and in its power. Now, keep in mind, as I was saying, the name of Jesus is what unhorsed old Saul of Tarsus, remember, when he was on the road to Damascus. That's the name that knocked him blind on the highway there, remember? And that's the name that knocked Newton to the deck of the ship. And the name that holds, like I said, 500 million of the population in its magic grip and power. That name Jesus is mighty. And it's an encouraging name. Go to the graves in a cemetery and read the epitaphs on the tombstones of people who used to rule, years ago. None of them so poor as to do honor today, though. Mighty names on earth will perish, folks. All the great Caesars, the Cleopatras, the Neros, the Charlemagne's, the Louis the Fourth and the Louis the Fourteenth and the Fifteenth and the Sixteenth and on and on and on. Madame Pompadour, everybody, they're gone. There's paintings that talk about those people, and that kind of thing. And, there may in the art world, as an example, be other Raphaels and other Michelangelos and there'll be other, Da Vinci's, but there'll never be another Jesus. We perpetuate the name of Jesus in art, literature, song, and everything. But that's that personal relationship's what's so important. It's just so important. So all of these things we got to remember. All of the famous people, all the famous things, they all pass away, folks. But Jesus doesn't. He's forever. So what are you going to do with him? Look at the love and the pure and the holiness of him. See what an object of love Jesus is, and you'll know. Look at him and. When he got ready to come to this old earth, remember that? The angels had to come down to sing to the shepherds, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is the Christ Lord. Remember, that's in Luke 2:11. And look at Jesus, him. Look at him in his baptism of John, when God the Father stopped making worlds and leaned over the battlements of heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And that's in Matthew 3:17. Herschel, the astronomer, was a Christian, and so were Jonathan Edwards and Blackstone and Gladstone and Washington and Lincoln and Lee, Queen Victoria, and Grant, honored in his tour around the world as no man had ever been honored before. When Grant, now remember we're talking about Ulysses S. Grant, President Grant of the United States, when Grant reached Jerusalem, a feast was proposed for him, and he said, "No, no. Not in this city where my Savior bled and died. Let me get alone. I want to weep." And that's good to hear things like that. Grant, he passed on. Jesus never. Grant revered his Lord and Savior. He said, "You don't have a feast for me in this city. You can, you know, show your love for me anywhere you want, but not in this city where my Savior bled and died. No way." And, you know, so look at the love, the pure and holy, you know, bear towards him, towards Christ. So what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? That's a great question, isn't it? What are we going to do with this Jesus? Remember, folks, we don't have to go back in time to realize that, or I shouldn't say we don't have to go back in time. We can't go back in time to worship Jesus when he was on the earth. But we have to remember that Jesus is still with us today. Now, I myself, I'm not worshiping a sleeping Christ in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, but a living, ruling, reigning Christ at the right hand of God, the Christ who's coming to judge the quick and the dead. You know, we can't go back in time and be there when Pilate was saying, you know, "What shall I do with this Jesus who is called the Christ?" We can't go back then and change anything. But we can still answer that same question today. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Because Christ is still alive. He came back to life. He went to the heaven to sit at the right hand of the Father. And he'll come back here someday, and we shall see him just as he was then. That's a magnificent thing to behold, isn't it? So you have to continue to ask yourself this question. Have your children ask themselves that question also. You know, so what shall I do with Jesus? What shall we do with Jesus? You know, you ought to have to do because of the sacrifice he made for you. If you believe that Jesus paid the price on the cross for you, you have to ask yourself, what shall I do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? If Jesus Christ could sweep down the aisle, let's go back just a bit here. If Shakespeare should enter this tabernacle, a church that you're in right now, if you're in an auditorium, a church or wherever, and Shakespeare should enter, we'd all stand up and bow. Because we all know who Shakespeare was, and everybody reveres who Shakespeare was. If Jesus Christ should sweep down the aisle, we'd all kneel and bow our heads in humility as he swept by us all in his regal splendor. So there's a difference in there. And that's what we don't see a lot of today. We see a lot of people standing on their feet and, you know, clapping their hands and yelling and screaming and that kind of thing. But you don't see a lot of humility towards Jesus like you should. You know, I think I've asked this question myself before many times. When's the last time you wore out a pair of jeans or a pair of slacks or a skirt bottom because you was on your knees praying all the time? So what shall I do? Well, here's a little story about the Battle of San Juan Hill, which I'm sure most of you remember, heard about maybe. In the Battle of San Juan Hill, in the Spanish-American War, a Rough Rider was wounded on an eminence. He was supposed dead by everybody when he was seen to wave his blood-stained handkerchief as the Mauser bullets were singing their death song back and forth. One of his friends, a cowboy from Arizona, turned to his colonel and said, "Colonel, I'll go out and save him." "Jack," the colonel said, "you couldn't live out in that zone. You'd be cut to pieces." "I guess he's gone." But presently, they saw the wounded American soldier wave his blood-stained handkerchief again. The cowboy said, "Look, he isn't dead. I'll go out and say, and I will go and I'll save him." So he threw down his rifle and throwing his arms to his face as if, you know, to protect himself from the bullets, you know, he dashed out into the zone. But what protection would flesh and blood have against steel bullets that could go, you know, so, you know, as far as they could and pierce through, you know, solid wood? Well, he ran out and grabbed his comrade and dragged him over the brow of the hill. Then a bullet from a Spanish sharpshooter struck him just above the heart. It went through him as if he were made of paper mache, and he dropped his comrade, and a crimson tide spurted from his nose, eyes, and lips, and he said, "Tom Pard, I'm hit hard. It's all up with me. I wish you well," and he reeled and fell dead. Well, the man crept back into the ranks to tell that story. He lived. The man saved him. Well, if Jesus could come down here, I wouldn't let him get all the way here, folks. I'd jump up from the platform and go to meet him and run down there. He saved, Billy says here, he saved me and my wife and children, and I'll go where he commands me to go. I'll go where he wants me to go. We ought to do that for him because of the sacrifice he made for us. It's that simple. What little we do for what he did for us is just no comparison, folks. It's none. Savonarola stood speaking in the square at Florence, Italy, one time. The people surged around God's lion-hearted preacher who told that gang of ecclesiastical crooks and thugs where to head in. So when he got to talking, he hurled the anathemas of God at the people there until they incinerated him to ashes because he dared rebuke their crookedness and their infamy. Well, Savonarola, he stood preaching. He knew that these were the questions uppermost in the minds of the Italians. What sort of government will emerge from all this? Will it be a Republican form, or will it continue, in the monarchy of with the king? The second question was, what will be our religion? Will it be the star and the crescent of the Mohammedan, or will it be the cross of Jesus Christ? Those were the questions, and as they all surged to hear him, he climbed on top of his pulpit where the great crowd could see him and cried out, Jesu Christus al nostro sino salvatore, which means Jesus Christ our King and Savior. But down the streets of Florence they surged through every building and every alley. They met the oncoming crowd, and they caught the spirit. Here's what happened. They got into the spirit of what was going on. And out into the country they went until it seemed to leap as by magic from mountain peak to mountain peak until all Italy rang with the cry, Jesus Christ is our King and Savior. Well, folks, tonight the cross of Jesus Christ waves over Italy instead of the star and the crescent of the Mohammedan. Jesus Christ waits to be your King. What is your answer? That's questions we have to ask of you and of ourselves. Jesus Christ waits to be your King. What's your answer? Are you ready to crown him? Are you ready to say Christ is ours? Or will you dip the cross of Christ into the forces of evil? What's your answer, people? We all have to answer that, don't we? We all have to answer, what is our answer going to be? Do we accept Christ to be the King of our lives? Or do we go on living like we've been living and crucify him? So, as Billy said at the end of his sermon that day, get up and look at, and let me look at you. In my case, I would say, get up and let me hear from you. Come on, whoever you are. It doesn't give a rap where you came from, who you are in the world. It does not matter how rich you are, how poor you are, how educated or uneducated you are. Come on and get a hold of us. Let us know. And make that decision. What are you going to do with Christ? Don't sit down and forget about it. You wouldn't sit down if we played the Star Spangled Banner. The cross of Jesus is waving over you right now, folks. Every one of you, there's a cross of Christ waving over you. Give your hand to the Lord. Give your life to Jesus. Let me know that you've done this. Stand with me in our efforts to defeat Satan and his wily ways and his deceiving ways that have deceived so many souls and led so many people to hell, never to be redeemed ever again. It's time that we make a stand for who Christ is and for what Christ believed in and for what he done, and what he did for us, who he is. Ask yourself the question, what shall I do then with Jesus? What shall I do with Jesus? That's a question we all have to ask ourselves. And I'm asking you to ask yourself, what shall you do with Jesus? I'm asking you that. Let us know. Please accept Jesus as your Savior. Don't give up on him. Jesus is your answer. Believe me, he is the answer. So I love you. I beg you to make the right decision. Ask yourself this question. What shall I do with Jesus, who is the Christ? God bless each one of you. We'll talk to you tomorrow.